Some claim that the age of a true gentleman is far behind us, but here at 284 Media, obviously we disagree. Now, he may appear in different guises today, but the values and ideals that make him a gent still stand. Gentlemen, aspiring gentlemen, and of course, the women that hold us down, I'm Ron Grant. Welcome to The Art of a Distinguished Gentleman, a show poised to help guide modern-day men into 21st century distinguished gentlemen. Now, don't worry, it's not always about suits and bow ties, but raw, real-life lessons that translate to grounded, community-minded, and well-rounded men. Thank you for taking this journey with me. How can a gentleman be a gentleman and not be well-groomed? This is just not possible. I get a haircut about every week. You may not need to, but understand that a part of being a gentleman is looking and feeling your best. How are you supposed to give, provide, take care of a home if your confidence hasn't been nurtured? Kicking this amazing series off is none other than my barber, the man himself, Jason Diva Martin of Crazy Cuts Barbershop over there in the Skelton Bay lot. Now, who happens to be a proud sponsor of this show? If you have never been to Crazy Cuts, half your life lost as a man. The barbershop is a total vibe with energy, excitement, and most importantly, talented barbers that keep us men looking our very best. It's pretty much a barbershop man cave. Today, we talk the art of a damn good barber with my barber, Jason. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Jason, welcome to the Art of a Distinguished
Gentleman. Welcome, sir.
Cheers to you, and thank you for being here.
Hey, it's a pleasure being here.
How long have you been barbering for?
Well, I've been a barber for approximately 15 years.
Okay.
Yeah, 15 years.
What is the most enjoyable part about your job?
It's knowing that you're the one who's responsible for getting the men paid.
That's big fact.
Our lead.
Yeah, that's true. Do you think that... It's interesting that you say that, right? Paid or lead. Do you feel as though you cut hair for the girls, the girlfriends, and the women?
Yeah, definitely. I cut hair for the wives and girlfriends.
Because when I come to you, my wife is very particular. And she knows, she always says, you know, where did you go? Or is this the right place? Because she sees it. So definitely they're paying detail.
Yeah, exactly. If you ever change a barber and the wife or girlfriend doesn't do that.
She knows.
Yeah, he didn't do good.
Now, a simple thing. What is something that annoys you? As a barber, you're cutting hair and it just pisses you off.
Well, at times, I mean, not every day you'll be on the job in the best frame of mind, but there are little stuff like maybe just a general bad mood because it's art and you want to be in your best spirit to let your creative juices flow and get a nice finish all the time. But, you know, basically it could be anything from having a bad day or, you know, not being able to probably have lunch on time.
Okay. People always say the customer is right. In this case, is the client in a barbershop always right?
No.
Why? Tell me.
Well, you come to us for our expertise and then sometimes what you want is not generally the best look for you.
Okay.
And I mean, some people might say, who are you to decide that? But that's actually our job.
Now, when you think about your job, how important is a good barber? Because I'll tell you, I ask you.
Mm-hmm.
There are about three people, not about three people, there are exactly three people in my life I don't cheat on. My wife, my barber, and I won't say the other one. Okay?
Okay.
But I don't cheat on my barber because I feel like it's very important that I not only have a relationship with my barber, but he knows me. So if I go to another barber and he, you know, forgot my hair, then that's a problem for me. But how important is it to have a good barber as a gentleman?
Well, I mean, the overall look and presentation of a man, I know they have this saying, they go by, people look at you from head to toe.
True.
So the head, that's the first insight for anybody. So you want to make sure you look good from head to toe.
Okay. We have a lot of issues when it comes to our hair, like simple stuff like ingrown hair, receding hairline. I notice I have a little bit of a recession going on, which I'm not too happy about. Mm-hmm. And of course, the ever-evolving grays. And us fellas have a little bit of a hard time accepting, I think, the nurture and the path of life. How do you think men should tackle those issues? Those three ones that I just mentioned.
Well, For instance, ingrown hairs are, a good barber will advise you on what to do and how, because a lot of times it's just the general growth pattern of your hair. When you stretch the skin, the follicles protrude from beneath. So when you let it go, the hair grows back from beneath the skin. Mm-hmm. So it, you know, curls under the skin sometimes and create hair bumps. This is generally to advise the client based on their hair type, that sometimes a not-so-close shave or a different product in, it could be like a shaving powder, a difference in a shaving cream, something like that, you know?
Maybe something's not
a... Or maybe you can just use a T outliner instead of having a blade shave, okay. You know, and graze. I mean, the age-old remedy, mm-hmm. a little dye sometime, just find one that you're not allergic to. However, some people embrace it, you know what I mean?
I was just going to ask you, is it a case where, like, us men have a hard time letting go, like, of the fact that, okay, I'm getting gray or my hair is receding. So they're trying to hold on to this, I guess, youth.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not working. So perhaps,
I mean, all of us want to stay forever young. Facts. You know what I mean? You know, they say beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. So sometimes when you look in the mirror, whatever you're comfortable with, I guess, I mean...
It's most important.
If it's one patch on the top and you're trying to save it...
Mm-hmm. Then that's you.
If it makes you feel good.
Okay. When you think about a gentleman, a distinguished gentleman, rather, what's your definition? What would your definition be?
It's just somebody who's not afraid to step outside of the box and present themselves in a distinguished, which is, you know, to be separate from everybody. Is like sometimes your look or your whatever you present it in a style that is, you know, different. It's unique to you and it stands out.
Yeah.
You know, not in a negative light, but, you know, so somebody see you do something and say, well, I wouldn't do that, you know, but, you know, Jason, you always nail that different kind of vibe. Yeah, so, yeah, that's my, you know.
How important do you think authenticity is? And I'll tell you why. Obviously, I consider you a gentleman, hands down. Mm. Our styles are different. You're a much more casual individual, whereas
yes.
I am a bit more formal, partly because of work too. But a lot of people feel as though if you're not wearing a suit or you're not wearing a bow tie,
mm-hmm.
or you're not wearing the boots or the leather shoes,
yeah.
that's not what a gentleman is. But looking at your style from head to toe, you're killing it. The sneakers, first of all, we've got to give you props for the sneakers. And it's just your authentic self. What do you say to people who feel as though they have to switch up? And when I say switch up, too, I mean the very way they speak. You know, we've all been, I guess, in some way guilty of, well, sir, you know, I have a job. I submitted an application. How are you doing today?
Yeah.
And we're trying to sell ourselves. But how important it is for you to be authentic. You walk up in there in your thick Jamaican accent and that's Jason. And you don't give a rat's ass, really.
Oh, well, every day life is. You should live life on your terms. So when you go out daily, you gotta be the best you. You know what I mean? Whatever you're going through, whatever it is that you just gotta be you. And me being like Jamaican really has nothing to do with it, you know, because a lot of people say that I'm not your typical Jamaican, so, and I don't mind that either, mm-hmm. because you want to go out there and you want to be you, and everybody's unique within their own self, so, you know what I mean?
Who cuts your hair?
Well, it's usually me or Ali, you know,
okay.
But this is all me today, though.
Today?
Yeah.
Okay, this all me you today. Handle it today.
Yeah.
That's what's up. That's cool. Yeah. What would you tell your 16-year-old self? And I'll tell you why I asked you this, because in just absorbing the barbershop, there are a lot of teenagers, young boys that come in, and you know, the simple stuff like the manuals and the little stuff that we hear, you know, they walk into a room and without saying good morning, good afternoon, and you kind of pause to yourself and you wonder what's wrong. Now, I have a problem with that, and I'll tell you why. Because a lot of times we look at young men growing up and we say, well, they're not doing this, so we're not doing that. And it's our job, I think, as the ones who have been there or working on it, to pull them aside and say, hey, this is how you do it. This is what you say. This is how you speak or behave. Or when you walk into a room, this is how you treat a lady, all that kind of stuff. But when you look at your clients, the teenagers, what's one thing that you would say to them in this era, this space that they are?
Well, a lot of times, you know, to create change, you got to meet somebody and their level or where they're at mentally. So sometimes you get them to respect you. You run a little joke with them. You don't try to be like an enforcer. At times you just say, okay, you could be having a general conversation about anything and say, like, you know, the other day you came in here and what you did, it was not cool or whatever. Sometimes it's more accepting coming from, you know, different angles. Like, you can't just at the moment sometimes, because a lot of people, in the moment,
the approach is wrong.
Yeah, the approach is wrong, and you get defensive about, sometimes you even know that you're wrong, you know, but the approach at the time. So sometimes it's just the approach that we approach them to. So we got, you know, it's a different time, so you got to have different styles, different methods of getting to the youths now, you know what I mean?
And what would you tell your younger self, your 20-year-olds, after passing through some time, some digits have added on to that number, of course, you've lost some hair, obviously. What would you say to your younger self, your 20-year-old self, looking back now, having made some mistakes and, you know, learned some lessons?
What would I say? Jason, don't do a lot of things you've done. But on a real though, like, basically, just be you. Try to live positive and do things that enhances the best you. You know what I mean? Okay. Yeah. Whatever it may be.
When you look back at your father or your father figure, what role do you think he played in the man that you've become?
Well, absent father, but wonderful stepfather, you know.
Oh, sorry.
Kudos to Mr. Leon Hayden.
Good stuff.
He did a good job, you know. So, but
do you think the father
is important? I mean, a lot of people say, you know, big up to the mother who fathered me, but I think really and truly the man in the house is representation of what a man should be.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So a woman can get the job done, but I think a man would get that done more effective and, you know, because it's best suited to teach a man to be a
right,
man.
Right, right, right. Mm. And when there is not that father figure, do you think it kind of started off on the wrong foot?
Yeah. I mean, it's that's the blueprint of a child to look up to his father or mother in whatever role. If it's a girl, her mother supposed to be, you know, the blueprint of what a woman is to become. Or in the case of a boy, the father should be, you know, the blueprint of what a man is supposed to be, you know what I mean? So,
your father yourself, what is the most enjoyable part about being a dad for you?
Right now, FaceTiming.
Okay.
Yeah, my son is back home and whenever we talk, is
nice.
Is a joy.
Yes.
Is a joy. And I mean, outside of that, just being able to provide, you know.
Awesome.
It's awesome. Like, you know that you can call upon daddy and daddy will make it happen.
That's what's up. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we will be right back after a word from our sponsors. We're here with my barber, the man himself, Jason of Crazy Cuts. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Welcome back, Jason. Tell me about Crazy Cuts. Let's get into it. You've been in the BVI now for about 5 years, am I correct?
Yeah, going on to 5 years.
When you started the shop and you now look at the magnitude and the magnitude of the clients that you have, one of the most enjoyable things for me is going to the barbershop and being surrounded by young, like-minded professionals. And it's just a hub for conversation, truth. Did you ever envision when you thought about opening a barbershop, did you ever envision such an environment?
Yes, because the barbershop is usually where, you know, men come to It's an outlet for you go, you catch a vibe, you have good, great conversations, you know, it's just a social scene for men and women too.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Yeah.
You cut a lot of women's hair.
A lot.
But they engage in the conversation as well. It's funny that you say an outlet because oftentimes as men, I find that we're just expected to be, we're just expected to do and deliver. It's rare that you find an environment of such where you could, for me, be yourself, you know, outside in the face of the public. But your barbershop, I must commend you on really solidifying its place in our culture, one, and having a place where men could feel comfortable and coming and be themselves, not only get their hair cut, but they're meeting their friends and family and leave feeling fulfilled. That is very important, and I commend you on that.
Thank you.
Crazy Cuts is a name, but you do some really ridiculous stuff as it pertains to hair. And in awe, where did the training come from with the expertise?
Well, I mean, me being a barber, funny enough, it's like it was some inborn gift.
Okay.
Because I started cutting my hair first. And my friends were like, who cut you? And I cut myself. And they were like, oh, man. You know, the proverbial teenagers, they don't believe that. And teenager friends, like, so they came and watched me cut myself. And then I started to cut them. And then people wanted to. So in no time, like, my mother, Varanda, was a makeshift barbershop. And
nice.
Yeah. So, and that was like when I was going to school. And then I went to school and furthered my craft. And it's whatever you do, don't stop at the where you are. Just always try to go at a higher level. Always try to push the envelope, you know. And I went to school, level one, level two. I was supposed to graduate from a level three, but I had some family issues, so I didn't. But actually, I could say, I'm qualified as a master
level three barber.
Yeah, level three barber.
That's nice. And when you see people, for me, I think, because my haircut is pretty simple, obviously.
Yeah,
I'm a simple guy. I didn't want all them stuff. I can't go on the news with crazy cuts and all the stuff in my hair. It's appropriate, my Steve Harvey kind of cut. And at the end of the day, we're leaving feeling fulfilled and confidence. It's important.
Yeah, it should be a vibe.
It is always a
vibe. It's therapy for the man.
Yeah, definitely.
And woman too. I mean, not even. Because I cut a lot of women, client. Don't want anybody to be upset.
speaking of women, gender roles. Let's talk a little bit about gender roles. We live in a society where women are empowered, independent. They feel as though they got the handle on stuff. The switch in gender roles, does that bother you a little bit? And I'll tell you why I ask you. And when I say gender roles, I mean, for example, if you had to be a stay-at-home dad, would you be a stay-at-home dad?
The stay-at-home dad, I don't know about that so much, but okay. I mean, if it's a case where it's for me to do, I'll do it.
Okay. If a woman were to propose to you, how would that, what would your answer be? How would that make you feel?
I would say yes, if I love her as much as she loves me.
Interesting.
If somebody loves you enough to profess their love to you by
going on one knee.
By asking to be with them forever. Okay. Why not?
So that is what I mean when I say gender roles. It seems as though sometimes the roles have switched. Now I'll be honest with you. I sure as hell ain't accepting no. I'd never have to because I'm happily married and I asked that question. But I think it's interesting that they feel like they have gotten to that point. So I'm wondering if perhaps you feel like we maybe fail somewhere. That they feel like, no, they have to ask the question and they have to eat ahead?
I guess men, the modern men, will probably drag our foot on a lot of things.
True.
So it's not so much their fault, I think, is we taking a step back, I think, to be honest. Yeah.
I could respect that. I understand that. What do you think, or how do you think we could not regain that territory? Because really not about that. I see it as a, in many cases, it's teamwork, you know, especially when you have committed to a woman, it's teamwork. But how do you think we could kind of right our wrongs as men within the society? What steps could we take to kind of fix some of the stuff that we've caused along the way?
Well, I mean, as I said before, in whatever you do as a man, just try to do it to the best of your ability. Always try to further yourself, push the envelope. I mean, if you're going to the universities now and you're going to the all higher institution of learning, it's dominated by females. So it's like men, I don't know what's happening, but like we're taking a step back in educating ourselves and in getting ourselves skilled and prepared for the world out there. And I see women doing that more effectively than us right now. Mm-hmm. So
that's true. Absolutely true.
Yeah, so that may be it. We just need to.
Do you think at some point we have spent so much time, when you compare the races, like the relationships between females and girls to men and boys, do you think that we kind of have somewhere along the line maybe neglected our boys in not nurturing them? Because we kind of push, when you look at the comparison, a girl is nurtured and her mom is there to, you know, teach her this and teach her that and all that kind of stuff. But a boy, you kind of push him out and figure yourself out.
Yeah, for yeah.
Do your thing and don't come back home crying, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Do you think that we have kind of caused that by our tone and our attitude with our young boys?
Could be, you know, thinking about that, it's highly possible. Because a lot of times, even as men, we have issues or we have things that we need to, oh, you're a man, you should, just as I said before, we're expected as men to just be.
Yeah.
But sometimes we need guidance and pointing in a direction from somebody who maybe have been there before. So, I mean, the male role models are maybe missing somewhat.
Yeah. Who is one of your role models?
One of my role models? Well, I have many.
Mm-hmm.
I have many.
Tell us.
But, for instance, in the BVI, I look up to actually the CEO of this company.
Yes, the man himself.
Yeah, Avrod Penn.
Of course. It's a good choice.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, he gets a lot done, but yet still goes about it, you know, nonchalant. You almost don't recognize him.
You think he's nonchalant?
Well,
I guess because I work for him.
He's like
a lot.
When he's at a spot, he's always cool and he's never really, you know.
Just kidding, Rad.
Yeah, that's one of the person.
But an example, I think it's a perfect example of a young professional, but hardworking and gets the job done. Different ways of doing it, but he's definitely present.
Mm-hmm.
So kudos to my CEO. Good shout out. That's what's up. Jason, it's been a pleasure having you on the set of The Art of a Distinguished Gentleman. As you go along your daily routine and your daily job, let me just tell you from a young man's perspective how important your job is.
Mm-hmm.
When I leave your barbershop, I feel like the confidence is there. I feel like I could almost conquer the wall. You know, I could do it. I could just literally do it. I need that moment where, you know, well taken care of. So thank you for that. I appreciate that very much.
Yeah, but that should be my tagline. Come as a man, leave as a king.
Hmm. I charge you for that. No? Cheers, man. Thanks for stopping by.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're watching The Art of a Distinguished Gentleman.